In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the reading that was just heard. My experience is not much different from that person who stands at the elevator, repeatedly pushing the button, hoping that with that encouragement, the elevator would arrive at the floor more quickly. The walk from my home, the parsonage in Queens, to the subway station was but a 15-minute walk. The walk to the subway was easiest because it was all downhill. This time of year was exceptionally joyous to see all those things that were unique to our neighborhood. One of them being the fact that AstroTurf covered the entire lawn, for one. Just a few doors down would be the one that had this beautiful crèche, the manger scene, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, and on the roof of the stable, Santa and his reindeer. Down by the next intersection would be that large dog, that one with the deep, resounding bark, who decided after a month it just wasn't worth the effort anymore and I could pass by quietly. Next would be the Jewish cemetery and then the cemetery where I buried Mr. Nordstrom, not the Nordstrom of department store fame, but a dear saint of God. I would make the right-hand turn and go down the commercial block, and then I would begin to feel the rumblings of subway cars coming and going. You could actually differentiate between those that were coming into the station, the Manhattan-bound train that I would want, and those that were departing, the Brooklyn-bound trains that I would ride on the way home. You had to make a decision. If you heard that train coming into the station, is it worth the effort to run, to try to make it in time to catch that train, or wait? Generally, it was either too hot, I was too lazy, or it just wasn't worth the extra effort to get down there to catch that train. I would descend the stairs into the subway entrance, swipe my Metro card, go through the turnstile, and then the elevator experience. I would come to the very end of the platform where there's this yellow strip with these bumps that warn you you shouldn't really stand there. Because just over this precipice is 750 volts of electricity, the infamous third rail that runs the trains. But the elevator part was the fact that first you look to the left, maybe to see the headlights of an oncoming train that means your journey will be starting sooner, or no, nothing's coming, so I'll have a chance to read. And then you would always have to glance down to the right as if the encouragement of looking down this way didn't help. You would look to see if maybe you could see the rear lights of the train that just left to know whether you have 7 or maybe even 20 minutes to wait. And then I would go along the wall and try to find a seat, one that didn't have gum or some other unknown substance on it, and hunker down for a little bit of reading. Today was a similar experience when we heard the rumblings that we heard come from the tower of Luther Tower as the bell swung, as that peal, that rumbling, that peal of noise beckoned us to come to this place, to be here. And our journey with those rumblings brought us to these front doors, where we pulled them open or cheated and hit the automatic button. We probably have already forgotten that back in September, when the morning sun would beat on those doors all morning, you almost needed a potholder to get in here. Maybe you stopped to drop off your coat and your books, and maybe you stopped to say hello to Mrs. Groudon. Then you came into the threshold, that moment, where maybe as a good Lutheran, you just bolted to the same seat you've always sat in, or you scoped out the congregation to find where perhaps a friend would be there. Maybe your fingers even paused to touch the waters in the font and remember your baptism. It was that rumbling, that peal of bells that brought us here today, that reminder of our baptism that brought us here. Because we're baptized. We are God's children gathered in this place, but we didn't come and run inside these doors just to have a couple of minutes to sort things out on our own. Those rumblings, that peal of bells, didn't call us here to sit down as God's people and to spend time, "Now, Lord, I have a plan and I wish for you to bless it." Instead, we come. We see the pages of the liturgy. We see the page that the hymn will be on. And we look. We look because it's Advent. We first look to see the faint remembrance of the Ascension. We look to see what had happened. We look and we remember because God still boldly proclaims through his word that this time recorded in Scripture records what happened, but also encouraging us not to forget what is yet to come. As we look back on those tracks of history, we do see those faint reminders, that faint glimmer of the Ascension. But now, are you willing to look forward? Can we boldly sit here and anticipate what is yet to come? Will the last day come before lunch? Will it come before call day, before our wedding plans for this summer? Will it come in time before retirement, or will it come in 7 years or in 20 years? There's rumblings that still reverberate within our lives as we even sit in these hallowed pews. The rumblings of Thanksgiving and Christmas, of shopping and cooking and preparing and doing, and children's programs and added duties of midweek services. We hear the rumblings of wanting to know, will grandmother be there for one last Christmas with us? We pray and we hope that the healing can happen here on this side for SMP Vicar Scott, who had a heart attack and then a stroke. We commit to God's care, Scott, who also, having experienced cancer before, is fighting again. We come in here not to figure it out on our own, but to stand here and say, come. I've made the mistake before. Sometimes when I've sat in a pew or just at home, I seem to be in a bit of a routine where I bow my head and I say the same prayer, come, Lord Jesus. And he came. He doesn't come just to unite with us at a time when we break bread together, but he comes. Salvation has come now. The trip we made this morning, not here to figure it out ourselves, but to be blessed by the one who has come. He brings good news to bind, proclaims liberty, opens the prison, proclaims the Lord's favor, brings the day of vengeance. He brings comfort, a beautiful headdress, oil of gladness, a garment, because you have now become oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Salvation has come from the one who loves justice, hates robbery, and who makes a covenant, a promise in his blood, an everlasting covenant. With the eyes of faith, in the midst of all this time when there's competing rumblings, we hear his clear message, because salvation has come. At one point in the life of Paul Mons, he certainly felt the rumblings. I've heard the story that when he wrote, "E'en so, Lord Jesus, quickly come," he was actually sitting at the bedside of his son. Healing was not a given. But from the pen of Mons came peace. Peace be to you and grace from him who freed you from your sins, who loved us all, and shed his blood that we might saved be. Sing holy, holy to our Lord, the Lord Almighty God, who was and is to come. Sing holy, holy, Lord. Rejoice in heaven, all ye that dwell therein. Rejoice on earth, you saints below, for Christ is coming soon. For Christ is coming soon. E'en so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, and night shall be no more. They need no light, no lamp, nor sun, for Christ will be their all. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.